And welcome to this Saturday edition of Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. And this is a program that I always look forward to anytime I'm able to talk with anyone in the wonderful country of Ireland. And it would only be better if I was there talking with them face to face. Needless to say, we are talking with the founder of the Anamkara Experience, the website, and we're going to be talking with Tony Cookson, as well as his partner of 28 years, B. Smith, and we're going to find out more about not only the Anamkara Experience, but also we're going to talk a little bit about St. Bridget. There's a special celebration going on this very weekend, the last weekend in January 2010. As a matter of fact, it's going on tomorrow, the 31st. And Tony, first of all, it is always a great pleasure, as I said, to speak with someone from Ireland who has a wonderful Irish accent and who is enjoying what I consider to be fabulous Irish weather. I know it's cold, I know it's wet, but you're there in front of a fireplace and just enjoying the evening there as we are talking here on our program. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, lovely to be joining you, Richard. Yes, and I'm going to hopefully enjoy talking to you and your listeners. And yes, I am sitting in front of a lovely, roaring turf and coal fire. And I've got my feet up in front of it. I've got the phone by my ear. And I'm just sitting here waiting to begin.
We're
sharing whatever it is you would like me to sort of talk on.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to certainly give folks who have tuned in to our conversation for the first time, because we had you on some time ago, talking about the Anamkara Experience, what it is, came to be. We also want to talk, pardon me, about St. Bridget's Day, which is coming up, I believe it's this weekend, tomorrow, is that right?
That's right, and we're doing, B and I are doing a festival. I'm doing storytelling with the kids and probably the adults, and Barbara's having a new book come out shortly on St. Bridget, and she's been asked to go and read some poetry from that, so we're looking forward to that, and it should be a good evening, and it's a great festival.
Well, we're going to have you share some stories on this program. We're also going to have B share some poetry for us and with us here on the program as we continue. And we are going to do just that. We're going to continue talking with our special guests, and B. Smith and Tony Cookson. And the website is anamkaraexperience.com. And the only vowels are A. A-N-A-M-C-A-R-A-experience.com.
I've also got a new website, if you're interested.
Oh, yes, please.
It features myself simply as a storyteller, but there's lovely stories on it and some other material, and I'll be updating that as and when. It's just simply my name, Tony Cookson, TonyCookson.com.
Okay, so, TonyCookson.com. It's always nice to be able to find your name with a .com, because you just tell that to people because it's so familiar. Well, stay right where you are. We are going to continue here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, and this is Tell Me Your Story. We'll give you some choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your Anamkara experience a wonderful one, not only on St. Bridget's Day, but every day of the year. We'll even define it for you, because that's what we like to do here on Tell Me Your Story. Stay tuned.
Keeping all that fear inside. I understand how trouble haunts you. It haunts me too. Yes, and I do know how you feel.
New paradigms for a new world. This is Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, and we come your way every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. And we archive these programs, and they're available at richarddugan.com. That's RichardDugan.com. Double D in there. And we encourage you to check out the website. All of our interviews for this radio program are archived up on the site, and you can listen to any or all of them. We encourage you to do so, including Tony's last interview that we had on the program. And Tony Cookson is my guest. His website, not only is it TonyCookson.com, TonyCookson.com, but it's also AnamKaraExperience.com, AnamKaraExperience.com. And I think the best thing for us to do at this point, Tony, let's define, number one, let's define what Anamkara is. It's Irish for, and how you became involved and started this experience.
Okay, well, Anamkara is two words. Anam meaning soul, and Kara meaning friend. And so it's the invitation to soul friendship. And let me give you some idea about what that means, simply in words. But it's a much more beautiful experience as an experience. Soul. Now, there are many people have written much on the word soul, but I'm going to give you a definition, and it's my personal working definition. And the soul is a feeling experience that unites you with the timeless and time and space, or you could say it unites you with the formless and form, or unites you with the manifest and the unmanifest. And so therefore, in that definition, you have the word unite. It's a unity. It's a sacred unity. And you feel it, emphasis on feeling. You're not going to experience the Anamkara experience through a definition. You are and do have available the Anamkara experience, the experience of soul friendship, when you get grounded in the body, are willing to experience your emotional life and allow the flow of creation to move through you as a being and express that as love and action. That sort of gives you an idea of where I'm coming from.
Okay, and let me ask, how is this different or the same as soulmate, as we hear that phrase quite often?
I have a soulmate. All right, yeah, people will ask you, am I a soulmate? I get that on my website. Now, a soulmate is somebody who you would like to, and we'd all like to have it, someone very, very special with who you can share your most intimate physical, emotional, spiritual experiences, right? And that is, let me say, an extraordinary and wonderful blessing if you are able to do that. Now, having said that, what is the difference between a soulmate and an Anamkara? Well, an Anamkara, the Anamkara experience is a continual unfoldment, really. You don't arrive one day at being an Anamkara. The difference between a soulmate and a soul friend experience is the fact that you, as an Anamkara, have the intention of walking in the world as a lover, not for someone, not looking for someone, but to share the unique experience that creation created you to manifest in the world. And I have one of the practices I do as an Anamkara and love is that I take poetry that speaks absolutely to my heart, and I learn it by heart. But it's not that I just learn it by rote or learn it by heart. The poem becomes a living experience within me, and I use that poem, those poems, to create and practice the Adam Carolla experience. So I think I mentioned to you that I would love to share one of these poems.
Yes.
And it's called Speaking That Sweet Moon Language. And then what I'll do is I'll do this poem for you, and then with your permission, I'll go into it and say what it means to me and what it actually on offer within it.
Yeah? Okay.
Now, just before I go and do this poem, let me tell you it's by a mystic called Hafiz, right? And it's a lovely poem. So let me share that with you. Go on. Admit it. Everyone you meet, you say to them, love me. Of course, you don't say this out loud because someone would call the cops. But think on this longing to connect. Why not then become one who lives with a full moon in their eye, speaking that sweet moon language that every other eye in the world is longing to hear? So why not? Why not become one who lives with a full moon in their eye, speaking that sweet moon language that every other eye in the world is longing to hear? And that is called Speaking That Sweet Moon Language. Now, that is a poem that could encapsulate my spiritual journey, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the invitation at the beginning is, why not admit it?
Mm-hmm.
Could you go around the world saying to everyone, love me? And of course, we all long to be loved. We look for soul friendship. We look for soul mates. We look for ways of connecting in a loving relationship. And in one sense, we go out and look toward other people because we are not in love with ourselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So Hafiz is saying, and it's the second part of the journey in my own personal life, is saying, why not think about this idea that of our longing to connect, and we all, as human beings, long to connect. And when we are in love, that is the most beautiful of connections that we are able to make on this plane. And he's saying, well, why not become one who lives with a full moon in each eye? Now, that's a very different invitation to living in form than, let's say that we have most of our media say that, you know, in order to be successful, you go and you do it, you get a job, you earn a lot of money, you meet the right people, and you maybe fall in love and all of the rest, and then at the end of the day, you can be called successful. It's not quite as heart-centered. That's not the same sort of language that Hafiz is using. He's using a heart language, and the heart understands that sweet moon language. It's, you know, you go and you would talk to somebody, and when you get into a deep conversation, you know, it's almost poetic. The person who I was influenced to do the Ankara website from was John O'Donohue, who wrote the book Celtic Spirituality. And that man was a poet, and, you know, he could open his mouth and the sweet moon language would simply flow from his mouth, and everyone would sort of have their hearts opened by that.
Mm.
So it's a very different way of, I would call it sort of opening to your intuition, connecting to that deep sense of knowing of who you are, and
so,
being able to have the courage to share that.
Right. So it's nice to have that partner, that someone who loves you, that you're able to connect with. But what we're talking about here is self-loving, that you like being around yourself and so forth.
Yes.
And absolutely. With yourself when you're by yourself. And a lot of us don't.
Yes. When we're taught that attitude, you know. I think one of the things that I've learned over the last year is that most of us have been in some way shamed, you know. And this is particularly, I think, true of men, as I'm discovering in myself and in other male friends, is we're shamed into feeling, we're shamed around certain kinds of feelings, you know, and so we get our emotional lives stunted, and this happens to women as well, but for men, they're not allowed to cry, and if you cry, there's a certain level of shaming, you know. If you get depressed, you're not allowed to talk about it because not only should you pull yourself together, but you should be feel ashamed because you feel the way, that way. And so what happens is our emotional lives get stunted, and the flow of the flow of the life force that is forever creative cannot move through this resistance that says, no, it can't be this way. You have to get yourself together, and when you do that, then the flow will happen. Well, actually, it's the other way around. When you let go into the allowing of your emotional life, then what happens? The body, the intelligence of the body knows how to process that block when you get out of the road. And what then happens is it moves on, and the creativity that is available within at all times is allowed to move through a body functional resistance.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful experience to have. There's no question, and obviously, if we are more at peace with self, then we're going to be more at peace with the outside world, and possibly living a much better life is in terms of physical health, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. A better able to live our lives in terms of our purpose for being here. I mean, it seems to me like a wonderful thing. And you have a website that offers that experience in the various steps, if you will, that you've put forth, right?
That's right, I do, yeah.
Tell us a little bit about some of the steps that we can look at.
Well, the first step is really, and it's very fundamental to the Anamkara experience. I have a course, and it's not a course that I tell you what to do, really. It's really a course that invites you to try certain practices and test them and see if they work for you, right? But fundamental to any practice, any spiritual practice, is that you trust the process. And it's in fact trusting the process that will take you into the experience. And what I'm trying to teach people is that creation created you for the joy of creation. It knows exactly how to move through you and enjoy that movement through you. What you were taught and what we are all taught through conditioning, through our culture, is that we're not enough, that we have to prove ourselves in some sort of way, and that, you know, when we do that, it'll all be all right. When in fact, you know, if you look at children, small children, and you look at them, you find they know exactly how to allow creation to move through them, right? And they enjoy that, and you too can learn to trust that process. And what it's more a question of giving up all those criticisms, all those judgments that you make yourself, that you do consciously and unconsciously, and simply allow them to be there without criticism, and they move on. And simply what happens is creation comes in, and fills that gap and allows you to dance.
Yeah.
So it's not that I give you anything. It's not that I give you answers to living your life. Life knows how to live through you. What the course gives you is an awareness that if you allow that process and trust it and trust it and trust it, that trust will bring you into that beautiful experience that creation created you to be.
I'm actually, as I'm listening to you, I'm remembering something that I read on your website, that in Celtic spirituality, you are invited to a journey into love. The one that invites you on your journey is Mo Anam Cara, which is Irish for my soul friend. And the great matriarch or a matron saint of Ireland, Saint Bridget, basically said that one without a Mo Anam Cara was like a body without a head. And it just so happens that tomorrow is that day, St. Bridget's Day, that is being celebrated probably more prominently in Ireland than here in the United States, but certainly remembered by many. And I do have to say that on my wife's birthday, which is February 2nd, coming up this Tuesday, we happened to be in Ireland in 2004 and found ourselves in, I believe it's Kildare, at the well, Bridget's well, and took some incredible pictures. And I think what I'm going to do, if I remember to do this, I'm going to put them up on the website and people can see for themselves. I've zoomed in and zoomed out and tried to make heads or tails of a particular image in the water. It's not a leaf. It's not twigs. It's not a reflection. And the only thing we can think of is that we somehow managed to get a picture of a fairy in the well.
Wonderful. Well, yeah, why not?
So I'll post that on the website so people can see that this weekend, so that they can see what we saw. I mean, I haven't done anything to the photograph. I tell you this truly. Now, let's talk a little bit about St. Bridget's Day. And I'm not even sure if I'm going to pronounce this correctly. Is it Fale Bride?
Yeah, and maybe you could talk to Barbara about
that. Yes, and that's what we're going to talk to her about, and she has some things to share as well as a book that she has coming out. You're listening to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, as Barbara comes on the line here, and we're talking about Anam Cara. We're talking about St. Bridget's Day, which is tomorrow, the 31st of January. Barbara, are you with us?
Yeah, she's with you. Can I pass you over now?
Absolutely, absolutely. And we're talking with Barbara Smith, and she...
Yes.
Yes, how are you?
Hi. Yes, my given name is Barbara Smith, but I write as B. Smith.
B. Smith. And you actually have a book that will be coming out in the not-too-distant future, and it's all surrounding St. Bridget and St. Bridget's Day, some poetry and other stories. Now, is this pronounced correctly, Fale Bridget, Bride?
Fale Bridge.
Fale Bridge.
Fale Bridge.
See,
Irish way of speaking of the Festival of Bridget.
Yeah, I took a Gaelic course here back in Phoenix, Arizona, at the Irish Cultural Center, and the best I can do is Falche and Slangafal.
Well, I'm no Irish scholar myself, and I'm only pronouncing it the way the people in Leitrim who I know who are Irish speakers would be speaking it. And I dare say that in other parts, in Ulster or in Munster or in Leinster, that they might pronounce it slightly different ways. So.
What is the fascination with St. Bridget in Ireland in particular? And tell us also, if you can, because of that fascination, about the festival that's underway in Ireland this weekend.
Right. Okay. Bridget is an absolutely wonderful character. In Christian terms, Bridget is one of the trinity of Irish saints. There's Patrick, of course, who brought Christianity to Ireland. Then there is Bridget, who, depending on which stories that you're going by, apparently may have died in Armagh and served Patrick at some point. And then there's Columbkill, who was from Derry, who then went on to found the monastery in Iona as well. And so they're the three saints, the trinity of Irish saints, who were eventually all buried in Downpatrick in the north of Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And but Bridget is this very interesting figure because she is the matron of poetry, of smithcraft, of healing, as well as midwives. She's very fond of babies and pregnant women. And in essence, the saint took on all of the attributes of an earlier cult figure, which was the goddess Bridget. And the whole metaphor around the saint's life is how she is a bridge. How she, because she was born of a Christian mother who was a slave, a father who was a nobleman, and some say some readings are he was a druid, and other readings was he was a noble. His wife got very jealous of this incredibly talented child that her husband had had with the servant women, and the mother and the child were then given to a druid. And later in her life, Bridget was then returned to her father as a free woman. So, you know, she, and also the stories were that she, her mother, was taken in labor. Her mother worked in the dairy with a dairy woman, which is another reason why both the goddess Bridget and Bridget the Saint is also the matron of people who work in the dairies or work with cattle and cows. But her mother actually was taken in labor as she stood on the door. And so it was said that she was born just before dawn, before the dark and the dawn, neither indoors nor outdoors. So Bridget is this character of liminality. Whether you look at her as either the Christian saint or as the predecessor, the goddess Bridget, they share all of those characteristics. And there is this complete and utter handover of the old traditions and old religion into the new religion in Christianity through the figure and character of Bridget.
Mm. Well, now you have a book that is going to be coming out shortly, and mm-hmm. is it a Bridget's breviary?
Yes. A breviary is another word for a missal. It's not a traditional prayer book in the sense, but it is a book of praise poems, which, well, for me are prayers. They wouldn't necessarily be for all people, but it's how it worked out for me when I took on the project. And I actually followed the wheel of the year, the Celtic year, which is the first of the year. The new year is not on the 1st of January. It would be on the 1st of November from Samhain, which is Halloween,
mm-hmm.
and then follows right through so that the beginning of spring in the Celtic calendar is not at the equinox, which would be the 20th or 21st of March, depending on the year,
mm-hmm.
but is at the beginning at St. Bridget's Day, which is on the 1st of February. And certainly within the climate, you do see the first greening. You do see the buds beginning to form on the plants. In a very rural agricultural society, this would be the time when the first lambs would be starting and that the ewes would be giving milk. And there would be the first of the calvings as well at around this time. So you see in Bridget, again, in the goddess form, she's has three faces. And in the spring, it's the maiden face. and it's the new beginnings. It's the greening of the world. Everything is coming back into life. And so there are, in the folk traditions, you would go, one of the ones which still would be in practice in households, it's a very sort of domestic festival in many ways, and it's very strongly a women's festival. And you would go to the door on St. Bridget's Day, on the Bridget's Eve, which would be the 31st of January, and you would say goodbye to the winter. And in the morning, you would stand at your doorway, which is, again, a doorway is a liminal space, and welcome in the spring. And you would welcome in Bridget, and you would say, you are welcome, you are welcome. And another one of the traditions, which is probably of the old ones, is the one that is still most prevalent, is that you would put out the Brat Breach on the 31st of January. And the Brat Breach comes from the folktale of Bridget's cloak or Bridget's mantle. And this would be the Saint Bridget, right? Mm-hmm. And St. Bridget, who was an enormously generous woman and decided she wanted to form the first convent in Ireland and community of this congregation of nuns, but she needed land, and she went with a few of her female followers who wanted to create this convent to the King of Leinster to ask for him for some land on the Curragh, which was his best land. I mean, this is really prime agricultural property. And, you know, and he kind of laughed her out of court. And she said, well, would you give me the size of my cloak for my convent and my abbey? And he said, sure. And so then she had four sisters with her, and they each took a corner of her cloak, and one ran to the east, and one ran to the north, and one ran to the south, and one ran to the east. And it was this amazing, unfolding, billowing cloak that just went on and on and on and on until, like, over a mile, you know, acres had been covered, and the king was absolutely aghast and astonished and couldn't understand his logical, rational mind couldn't take it in, and finally he just said, stop! And so they did. But he had to give her the land. And that was where she formed the first convent, which is in Kildare, which is from the Irish Kildara, which is the church at the Oak. Mm-hmm. And St. Bridget, as the goddess Bridget, is very strongly associated with the oak tree. Hmm. And there was where the first abbey was formed. And the interesting, this is another thing that it was a carryover from the old religion to the new tradition, was that she kept an eternal flame. Now, there were 19 nuns, and each day they kindled and tended the flame, which is the flame of inspiration, and this is what she's the matron of poetry, and it's very much the healing aspect of Bridget is very much associated to wells, sacred wells and holy wells, but the flame is very strongly connected with poetry and inspiration and prophecy. And in Kildare, there were 19 nuns who, similar to the cult of Minerva, they took turns to keep this sacred flame going. And then on the 20th day, they had a rest, and the goddess looked after and tended the fire, you know. Mm-hmm. But Bridget's nuns also kept that flame going, and it kept going till around, there are various different sources. Some say that it carried on until the dissolution of the monastery. Some people said it was extinguished around 1124. But the flame was reignited in 1992 when there was a peace and reconciliation conference in Kildare by two Bridgetine nuns, Sister Mary Minahan and Sister Philomena. Can't remember her last name right off the top of my head. as well as the people who were there at that peace conference. They decided to reignite the eternal flame and kill there, which they did.
Yeah.
And there are groups now. There's one called Ordre de Brijog, and another group which I am connected with called the Daughters of the Flame, which is an ecumenical group in which women right around the world do this. They take turns daily tending a flame, a candle flame or a fire or whatever, you know, and passing the baton on to another sister. So it may be, I might be passing it from Ireland to someone over in Maryland in the USA, for instance. You know, there are some women in Australia who will be passing it to someone in Canada. You know, and so and so it goes right around every 20 days. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this seems like it's huge. I mean, this is not just a little thing on a little island out in the middle of the North Atlantic here. It seems as though this is not only a celebration, but a remembrance, an acknowledgement, a following of a woman who really, in one sense, did some extraordinary things.
Yeah. I mean, Patricia Monaghan has said that in many respects, Bridget is the emblem of survival. And so she's quite important in terms of when people are in very tough times. I would say that she is the right woman in the right place at the right time when you are in transitional time.
Mm-hmm.
And simply because she embodies the ability to adapt, but also to retain integrity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I think that, I think, is probably one of the great spiritual legacies to come out of that tradition.
We're talking with B. Smith all the way in Ireland, along with her partner, Tony Cookson, and his website is AnamkaraExperience.com and TonyCookson.com. We're linked there at RichardDugan.com as well, if you'd like to go there. You have a book coming out shortly, and probably appropriately so, right around St. Patrick's Day, called A Bridget's Breviary. And the publisher, who is publishing this book?
It's a Canadian publisher, and you can find them at www.waddleanddobbooks.ca.
Okay. Waddleanddobbooks.ca.
You
know, as you're talking about, excuse me, all of these different aspects of Bridget, a memory came to mind from our trip to Ireland, and we stayed in Connemara, just west of Galway on an island, and we took a ferry out to the Aran Islands, to Inishmore. And I'd had a dream the night before we went out there of my dear departed, I'll say paternal brother, who lived with us, passed away in our home back in Phoenix. And in this dream, though I don't remember seeing anything, I just remember hearing him say, "Don't you say anything bad around Bridget." And so we go off to on the ferry, and we go over to Inishmore, and we're walking through the graveyards of the seven churches. And I'm just kind of tooling around, and my wife comes over to me, and she says, "You need to come over here." And I said, "Okay." So I walk over, and there's this tombstone flat on the ground, and she says, "You need to read that tombstone." And it only occurred to me just now, as you're talking about Bridget, the name on the tombstone was Bridget McDonough. I just made the connection to St. Bridget. But to finish that story, I didn't say another word until I walked away from that gravestone.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very eerie, yet kind of an exciting experience to have had that dream almost quite literally, so to speak, fulfilled within hours of having it. Overall, the trip was just extraordinary. And again, we had the great pleasure of going to, as I say, Kildare, and to Bridget's Well. Spending, actually, I think we spent about an hour or two there in the cold driving wind. Unfortunately, there wasn't any rain while we were there. It only started after we left. But and Ireland overall is an incredible spiritual experience. I wasn't actually looking for that, but I seemed to come away every time we went somewhere. We visited people. It seemed as though that's what it was. What is it about that island that somehow envelops people so? Can you encapsulate that in just a couple of minutes?
Well, it's interesting because I don't have any sort of, that I know of, Irish DNA, but the first time I clapped my eyes on Ireland, which was on the coast of Antrim, it was as if the land itself reached out and grabbed me at the heart. And I feel that the reason why Ireland is for many people such a spiritual place is to do with the land itself. And that's just it. You know, it will, and she will take you where she will. I mean, and there are so many sacred places in this land, because in the Celtic spiritual experience, the land and the environment. There's pantheism, which you see God as nature, but what is quite central to Celtic spirituality is panentheism, which Matthew Fox defines as being there is divine, the divine is in everything, and everything is divine.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean O'Dean, who has written the best folklore book about the traditions of Bridget, the Glenstone monk, is absolutely clear that seeing the divine in everything, every rock, every stone,
yes,
everything, that is completely and utterly part of spirituality. I'm just wondering if we would have time and I could maybe read you a poem from the book.
I'm going to have you do that in our next segment. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to have you do just that and ask my final questions. This is Tell Me Your Story. We're talking with Barbara Smith and Tony Cookson all the way in Ireland. And as I said before, I wish I was there conducting this interview, but I am here, and I'm enjoying it just the same, and we'll be right back.
If we leave here today, we could be 1,000 miles away. Take to that road, see how far it goes, and on that great ocean road, all the countries in our bones, all the trouble that you know empties out as you go.
Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan here with Barbara Smith and Tony Cookson. And we're talking not only about the Anamkara experience that you can find out more about at the website anamkaraexperience.com. You can also go to Tony's website, which is Tony Cookson. That's TonyCookson.com. And we're also talking with B. Smith about her book and St. Bridget. And the book is A Bridget's Breviary, and you have a wonderful reading for us as we come close to the end of our program, if you would share that with us now.
Yes, seeing as that Bridget is a liminal presence, I thought I would read you Standing on My Doorsill, Surrounded by the Sacred. Standing on my doorsill, surrounded by the sacred, the heat of the sun warming stone, the milky glare at full moon, the vibrant glints of planet and star as the plow furrows the night sky. Standing on my doorsill, surrounded by the sacred, One New Year's morning, I looked up, called by the harsh honking of four Buick Swans in formation, gliding in to land on Loch Monin. Standing on my doorsill, surrounded by the sacred. John O'Rourke's cows now graze in the flat fold of field that Paddy's sheep yielded when they moved from winter pasture to lambing barn. Standing on my doorsill, surrounded by the sacred. The willow quenches itself on our acre, drinking deeply from sodden peat. An oak, nurtured from an acorn, now leaps tall, while the ash, as usual, is the last to peep. Standing on my doorsill, surrounded by the sacred. The cats scratch at the dandelions. The dogs doze in a patch of sun. The cuckoo immigrates each April. The bee feasts on the nectar of apple blossom. Standing on my doorsill, surrounded by the sacred. Gaudy gorse blazes on the hillside. Meadow sweet shrouds the acre in bridal lace. Lady's mantle does her juju in the border. Blood from bramble thorn bears sweet berry. Standing on my doorsill, surrounded by the sacred. They call this the briary place. The root system curled around my ankles, but that now I walk out into the world, awake to this bounty and beauty.
Thank you so much.
Mm.
And I
so
know
that is the panentheism. That's what panentheism is about.
Well, I wish we had more time. I really do. And I want to thank both you and Tony for taking time out of your evening as we speak to you there in mm-hmm. Ireland to share with us both about Anamkara as well as about St. Bridget and her main focal day, the 1st of February, as you've stated, but we're mm-hmm. doing it on this weekend because it's a little more convenient, so you're not dealing with the work day. Look forward to not only having you two back on the program in the near future, but also visiting with you in person one day.
You're always very welcome. You are very welcome.
Thank you.
My
thanks to Tony and to B for being on our program. Again, the website is anamkaraexperience.com. The book, again, is A Bridget's Breviary. And we thank you again. I'm Richard Dugan, and you've been listening to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Love, Talal.